Welcome to another episode of Living an Altar Life. My name is Mike, and this week we've got a gentleman on that I have met at a bunch of 24-hour races, and his enthusiasm and encouragement for all the other runners has just always been one of my favorite things. And so I thought, well, let's get this guy on and find out more about him. So let's welcome in Mr. Paul Starling. Paul, you ready to go for a little run?
Sure, I'm always ready for a run.
All right, should we do 24, 12, 48? What's your poison today?
Any and all.
That is awesome. Well, Paul, tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, family. What do you do when you're not out running ultra marathons?
Well, I currently work in the public school system here in Harnett County, North Carolina. I've been with the school system for 33 years.
Oh, wow.
I work as a teacher assistant and also drive a school bus.
Okay.
As far as family goes, I am single, never married, no kids. My dad is still living. I have one brother, four stepbrothers, and a stepsister.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Got a pretty big family, lots of cousins. What I do when I'm not running basically is work. And attend church regularly. I'm involved with the choir and other activities at church.
Awesome.
So
that
keeps me
is
pretty
fantastic.
busy.
Good for you, man. That's awesome. So how long have you been running? Is this like a lifelong thing, or where'd the running come from?
Well, this is an interesting story as far as the running goes. I have shared with some people, but not a lot of people know this. I've been running pretty much most of my life. I started out with all the basic sports, football, basketball, baseball, growing up. But in middle school, that's when I became interested really in running for the first time. My brother, who was 2 years older than me, was a freshman in high school on the track team. I ran some, but the thing was that he could always run me down and catch me. So it wasn't until middle school when I could, if I had a big enough lead on him, he couldn't catch me. I'm like, hey, I might make a pretty good runner when I get to high school. And that's what I did. When I got to high school, I ended up running 4 years of track. I ran 1 year of cross country my senior year because we didn't have a cross country team.
Okay.
So my track coach said, I want you running in the fall of the year to get me ready for track season. I said, well, we don't have a team, so what are we going to do? And he said, he was a basketball coach. So he said, well, let me worry about that. And he ended up making all the basketball players that weren't playing football run cross country with me.
That's so awesome.
So they probably didn't like me very much for that, but I had a great, great season of cross country that 1 year I ran. I placed between 8th and 13th in every race during the season. We were a 2A school, and we were competing against 3A and 4A schools here
Wow.
in the area where I lived. And then back then, we had all competing together. So we had sectionals, and I finished 62nd out of 230 runners in sectionals.
Oh, that's fantastic. Wow.
Across all classifications. And I got started the year with a 19.56 and got down to an 18.09 PR for 5K.
Wow, that's a fast 5K.
I wish I could still run it.
yeah. I'm like, yeah, I may have fantasized about running an 18.09 5K, but then never happened. So, did you keep on running after high school then, or?
I kept running some. I really didn't compete in races at that time. I competed through high school. I then switched over to competitive tennis.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
So I competed in tennis for a number of years, playing tournaments and USTA leagues. So what ended up happening was I progressed through the USTA leagues through 4-0, 4-5, and got up to a 5-0 level. And if you're not familiar with the USTA rankings, it goes from 1 to 7 being a top-notch pro. So
oh,
I
wow,
got
and you got all the way up to 5.
To 5.
That's impressive.
And I tell people quite often that know me as a runner that I was always a better tennis player than I am a runner, if you can believe that. I have one state championship where they invited the top 8 players in the state to play in a like a year-end event, and I ended up winning that event. I probably have 60 or so trophies that I've won playing tournaments and so forth through the years.
Okay.
But what ended up happening was when I reached the 5-0 level, they no longer had USA Tennis League where I was at. So I'm like, what's my next competitive endeavor that I was going to do? And I remember the 76 Olympics watching Frank Shorter win the silver medal. And that piqued a curiosity to one day I wanted to run a marathon. And so that was the time for me to do it. I couldn't play tennis league. I had to sit out for 2 years before I could rejoin. And I trained for my first marathon for January of 2001.
Okay. Wow. And where was your first marathon?
My first marathon was Disney World, January of 2001. Cool. I ran myself into an injury, though, and did not complete the first marathon. So I usually do pretty well with staying injury-free. I did go back to redeem myself in January of 2002, and that was my first marathon finish.
Awesome. Uninjured. That's the best way to run.
Yes.
So when did you start running ultramarathons?
So after I ran that first marathon in 2002, I actually ran it with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society with their team and training program.
Oh, cool.
And I worked up through being a participant to a mentor, eventually became a coach with them. And after I ran probably 18 marathons, I came across Dean Kernan's book, Confessions of an All-Night Runner, Ultra Marathon Man, and read that. And I'm like, well, an ultra is not much further as far as a 50K than a marathon. So that piqued the curiosity to do my first ultra. And so in January of 2008, 6 years after my first marathon finish, I completed the Frosty 50K in Winston-Salem for my first ultra finish.
Wow. January of 2008. So you've been doing ultramarathons for 16 years.
Been doing them for quite a while.
Well, I guess, it'd be 17 in January. That's amazing. Well, and I was looking at your list of what you've completed. You've done a lot of fun runs and everything, including Umstead 100 finish, right?
Yes.
And do you have any other... any other 100-mile finishes?
I have a 100-mile finish in one of my 24-hour events. My first one was 2013 Henson Lake, 24-hour. I completed 101.36 miles.
Wow, that's impressive.
And then 2015 was my Umstead finish. That's probably my most memorable race of that distance because I had trained pretty much on my own. I had a training buddy of mine that moved to South Carolina. I had crewed and paced him at the 2014 Umstead, and I told him he needed to return the favor to me the next year and when I got signed up for the 2015 edition of Umstead, and he came down and did that with me. But since he had moved, I really was basically training on my own. I'm like, well, how do I train for this 100-miler on my own? So what I ended up doing was for 6 months from October to March of that year, I ran a marathon or ultra every 2 weeks.
Wow.
I was in great shape going into that race. And
you smoked it 23 something, right?
23:35 approximately. I really went in just with the goal of just finishing. But with my fitness being so good, I really did crush it.
Okay. And so then what year did you do the 101 at Henson Lakes?
That was 2013.
Okay. Wow.
And then my last 100-mile race was 2016. I did that down in Spartanburg, South Carolina at the Blind Pig.
Oh, cool.
100-miler.
Do that one? I heard that's fun.
They do not. They did it for a couple of years later. I had actually planned to possibly go back down and do that again. The race director had a baby and got busy and just never brought it back. So
it seems like you gravitated to the 24-hour. Is that like your favorite type of race?
The timed events have become my favorite events, and I have had great success in most of them. That's why, like the race last Saturday at Tideland, mid-afternoon, I was in 53rd place, and by the finish, I climbed to 18th.
That's amazing.
I've, I've been able to stay awake throughout the nights during those events and keep moving. That's the main thing. And I have done probably close to 30, I guess, 24-hour events now over the course of all my ultras.
And That's amazing.
And I have fared very well in all of them. Probably some pretty high, probably top 20% or higher in all of them.
That's awesome. Yeah, I you know, it's funny because I first kind of noticed you. It was, I want to say it was the 2021 Virginia Run for Cancer.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've done that race 11 times.
Okay. All right. So you're, oh, so do you have, how far away are you from your 1,000-mile jacket?
I'm about 137 miles, I think.
From okay. 1,000 miles. Yeah. Easy 2 years.
Yep. 2 years.
That's awesome.
That's like my plan.
And, you know, one of the things that I noticed when I first saw you running is how you're just so encouraging to everybody out on the course. Where does that come from?
Well, that probably comes from my dad more than anything. He's a people person, and I get out there running with others, and, you know, I can be competitive, but it's really and truly about my own race. And when I see others out there doing and competing just as hard as me, it makes it very easy for me to cheer them on and wish them the best. And so I just, anytime I pass, I'm like, good job, keep going, you know, you're doing great. And it's just something that I enjoy doing, and I enjoy running with others while I'm out there as well.
Yeah, it seems like I just remember, like, this year Cape Fear, it seemed like you were with a different person every time I saw you on the course. It was like, does Paul know everybody? It was awesome.
I know quite a few people. In fact, some of those down during Cape Fear are part of my 24-hour team up in Hampton, Virginia. So I knew at least four of them. And then I'm always meeting new people out there. I actually finished Cape Fear with a 17-year-old doing his very first race of all time. He was supposed to run the race, wasn't supposed to run the race. His cousin was supposed to, and he got in a bicycle accident and broke his wrist like 3 days before the race. And his aunts were coming down, and they said, would you like to take your cousin's place? And so his aunts both went to sleep, but he stayed out the entire night and was getting close to 100K. And I said, great, I can stay with you and get you to your 100K if you'll just stay with me. And I took him around for the last about six loops, and we finished with about 8 minutes or so, maybe a little more. And of course, Lisa was so encouraging, and she's like, you got time for one more lap. And I looked at him, and he looked at me, and we took off.
That's awesome.
We ended up getting one more lap in. We went around a little bit, and he was 17 and so much younger than me and had more energy, so he took off.
That's awesome.
I said, you go on, and I'll finish up after you. So he got his first race and did 100K.
That's amazing. 17 years old. Wow. Good for you, getting him across that first 100K, man. That's awesome. So Tideland, this was my first year going down to Tideland, and I fell in love with the race. And so you've done Tideland a bunch of times, right?
I've done it 5 times.
Okay.
Yeah, it's become one of my favorite places to run.
I am telling you, it's beautiful course. The thing, and I've been bragging to Jenny, going, oh my gosh, I'll go back for this one reason only. The start with the active duty military carrying the flag, and everybody stayed behind her. Such honor, and what a tradition. That I was like, I'll go back just for that.
Yeah, that's become the tradition. They've done that every year I've been there. They've picked a different active duty, and the person who carried the flag this year actually won the kettlebell for doing the most miles active duty.
Really? Oh, that is awesome. How many miles did she end up with?
She ended up with 74, 75.
Wow, that's fantastic. Yeah, did you end up with 80?
No, I finished up with 70, just 70, over 70.
Okay. So what is your secret to staying awake in these 24 hours? Because you always, I don't ever see you. Once it gets dark, it's like you come alive or something and just plug into some energy source. What is the secret behind this?
Well, the secret for me as I've gotten older is I do a caffeine pill usually around midnight
Okay.
and then do another one about 6 o'clock. So that will help keep me through the duration of the race and then for the drive home.
Okay. Huh. I have never tried a caffeine pill.
Just a low
Yeah.
dose, just enough to keep me awake and moving.
Okay.
And then the second thing would be my determination. I just hate to stop and lose mileage. I do
Yeah.
occasionally, like at Cape Fear this year, I did take about a 30-minute nap in my car.
Okay.
I did not this year at Thailand. Last year at Thailand, I took about a 30-minute nap. If it gets to the point where I'm kind of like a walking dead, zombie type state, I will try to get me a little nap, and then usually that revives me and I can pick back up
That's
after the nap
awesome.
and keep going from there. So
So what do you use hydration nutrition? What's kind of your go-to for hydration nutrition?
when I first started, I used to use a lot of the gels and just basic Gatorade or Powerade type thing. Now I've learned that I can pretty much stomach any and everything. So I just use whatever they have at the race pretty
Okay.
much. And I go through the aid station. I call it grazing. I'll grab a
Right.
little bit of this, a little bit of that as I go through ever so often and eat a burger. I'll eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I'll do gummies. I'll do chips. I don't like pickles, but I'll eat pickles or do the pickle juice because I
Right.
know it helps with cramps. And I have a history of cramping. I've been hospitalized in the past for
Okay.
excessive cramping.
Wow.
So I have to listen to my body, and I have learned to do so since my last hospitalization back
Yeah, I'll bet
in
that's scary enough.
2010 or something like that.
Okay.
I was running a race in September. It was a 30K, and it was like 90 degrees and not 90% humidity. And the aid stations had these little itty bitty 2 ounce cups.
Oh,
And I
not
could
enough water. Yeah.
not enough water. And then when I finished the race, they had this little round kiddie pool that you see for little kids. And it was just full of water in it, but the water bottles had all been taken by the shorter distance runners. And from there, I was like excessively hot. I had a friend of mine that was trying to finish up her race. When she finished, I said, "They don't have any water for us to drink." I said, "I'm hot. I'm going into the shade to try to cool off." And I got over there and I started cramping severely. Then I started projectile vomiting. And when I did that, I leaned forward so I wouldn't get it on me. And when I leaned forward, I blacked out.
Wow.
And she pulled me back up and I came back too. And she's like, "Are you all right?" I said, "No, I need some help and I need it right now." Well, luckily the ambulance was right parked right behind the bench I was sitting on, and they came around with a stretcher. It was a little low, so I put my hands down to try to stabilize myself again. And of course, when I did that, my head dropped again. So I
Yeah.
went blacked out for a second time. And from there, they put me in the rescue squad, and I end up with two IVs in my arm. And the guy was questioning me about my name and date of birth and so forth. And he said his name was Shane. And he started asking me more questions and talking to me. And then he said, "Well, what's my name?" I said, "Scott." He says, "No, it's Shane." And then he kept talking to me again. And then he asked me a second time, "What's my name?" I said, "Sean." He said, "Close, it's Shane." By the third time, I got it right.
There you
But I later found out that they had tried five different times to get a blood pressure reading on me before they could. They just
Wow.
couldn't get one on me. So I kind of laugh about it now, but at the time it was really scary.
I was going to say that would have scared me a little bit.
So I've learned to listen to my body a lot more. And so I know the warning signs now and what to do whenever I get overheated
Okay.
and start cramping. One of the warning signs is dry heaving.
Okay.
So when I start dry heaving, I know, and I just have to back off, maybe stop running, walk, take a break.
Yep.
But
Amazing.
I've been doing it long enough. I've learned.
I was going to
learning.
say, you've been doing this a long time. You've learned the secrets, haven't you? That's awesome. So you go pretty minimalist at the races. Like, I always notice that you might have a table, but I mean, you don't have a lot out there. Is that on purpose?
Yes, my buddy that I used to train with, he overpacked way too much. I take basically one bag, a chair, and then maybe a cooler. Because like I
Okay.
said, typically I use the aid from the race, so I don't need a lot of extra stuff anyway. And basically, in my bag is extra like shirts, shoes, socks, and I changed my shoes 3 times at Tideland.
Okay.
Well, I didn't change my socks. I did put an extra layer over the socks I had on when I went to my third pair of shoes because they were a little more roomy. So
Okay.
I just don't see the need to overpack or take more than I need. I know some people like to be overprepared and
Yeah, I have everything that I'll ever need and never use. And so I am one of those people that goes overpack. So my wife and I are trying to learn. She's been trying to learn me for a long time to, okay, what do you really need? And so yeah, Tideland was a good example. I slimmed down a little bit at Tideland, but it got done and I was like, I could slim down a lot more because I got like 6 shirts and I didn't change shirts once. And I was like, well, I was going to change into short sleeve if I've gone or to long sleeve if I gone into the night. But yeah, I always am way overpacked.
And that's basically what I did. I did stay in one short sleeve. I eventually changed out later in the day because it was wet and then it kind of cooled down again. And then I did go to a long sleeve once the sun went down and it did cool a little bit. So.
So, what's next on your schedule? I know you've got a 5K coming up this weekend, but what's the next kind of big one for you?
Okay, next big one. I basically plan my racing schedule a year out in advance.
Okay.
So I've got races all the way through, gosh, I've got races all the way into November of next year, October
Wow.
next year already.
Okay.
So my most races ever in a year is 37. I've done that twice.
Wow. 37? That's awesome.
I'm on pace for probably 40 this year.
Okay.
So tomorrow will end a 10-week where I've done 11 races. I've run race for 10 straight weeks.
Wow.
And I ran 11 races in those 10 weeks once I run the 5
Okay.
this morning. The next big race after that, I do have a 50K coming up in the end of November. It
Okay.
will be my 13th time running it is the Derby 50K. It's
Okay.
put on by my track club, the Mangum Track Club here in North Carolina. I joined that track club in February of 2013.
Okay.
It is great. I call it my running family. That's how I know a lot of the people that you saw
Right.
at here because they are a part of the Mangum Track Club. You have to complete a 15-mile short run to get into it. And
Okay.
I completed that in February. So I try to support all of the Mangum Track Club races that they
Okay.
hold throughout the year. They do about 6 races a year. Although one of them that they did this year is the Boogie 50 miler and marathon in June is sadly no longer in existence. The race director decided after, gosh, I don't know how many years they've done it, 20 plus years, 25 maybe, to end that race. And two people that went over 1,000 miles at that event. So that meant
Wow.
they could get 20 plus finishes there with the 50 mile race. But I've got this will be my 13th run of the Derby 50K. It's become my post-Thanksgiving day tradition to burn off calories.
There you go. That is awesome.
And
Gotta have that.
then after that, I've got here in my local town between Dunn, where I live, and Irwin, the next town over, they have a converted rail trail that's
Okay.
5 miles long. And they do a 3, 6, and 12 hour event called the Nutcracker.
Oh, cool.
And I'll be doing the 12 hour. And I am the only runner. This is year 11. I'm the only runner to have run or will have run all 11 years.
That's awesome.
I'll
So
have
what's the most miles you've gotten at that one?
my 12 hour PR is 57.
Oh, wow. That's
And
a
I've got
that's
that.
an awesome 12 hour. Wow. That's
Yeah,
impressive.
kind of surprised myself. I had hit 56 and didn't think I'd ever break it. And I did complete 57 a couple of years ago.
That's fantastic. So. Wow, I'm impressed. Wow. So 2025, is there like a race that you'd love to get into, or you just gonna stick with the races that you've been running? What's kind of the 2025 plan?
I haven't really planned all of it. I do two race series. That's one of the reasons I do compete in so many races. I currently run the Triangle Race Series and the Fit and Able Race Series, and they're both located out of the Triangle area.
Okay.
So I will continue to do a lot of the 5, 10K. They do go up all the way up to marathon in one of the series.
Okay.
So, but I typically do keep the same race schedule. I'd like to add new races to the mix for next year. I haven't found the race that I want to add to the calendar yet, but I'll be looking for something new. This year, I did a couple of races for the first time. I did the Alphabet Soup race.
Yep, that's a
In the middle of the summer. Yeah, 7-hour race there up in Williamsburg. That was a new race for me. And I added a new 24-hour down in South Carolina, the Sherrah 24-hour, which is just below the North Carolina line. I actually did a marathon the same day and then got down there about 4.
Oh, gosh.
Got down there for about 4 o'clock for the 24-hour. I only stayed till about midnight. The winner of the Tideland 24-hour race, Diana Gorder, ended up winning that race this year.
Wow.
I think she finished with 94 to 95 miles on that race. She was the last runner out on the course when she finished. I ended up leaving for various reasons. One, having completed the earlier marathon on a road, my legs were pretty beat up. And it got cold during the middle of the night, being in February. And then I found out a lot of people had already packed up and left earlier. So there weren't very many runners out on the course.
Oh, wow.
I kind of looked for headlamps behind me and in front of me. And in the 4.5-mile loops, it kind of got kind of eerie out there.
Yeah, I was going to say that would get a little bit.
Well, I decided to, like, let's pack it in early. I ended up only getting about 21.5 miles for that on top of the marathon. So I still finished with
47
miles.
That's
in one
awesome. Day. Yeah, that's still a really good day, man. That's amazing. It sounds like you're just going to keep on, you know, charging as long as you possibly can.
Yeah. People often ask me about my knees. Don't your knees hurt or whatever? And I said, no. Actually, I've got great knees, and as long as they will let me run, I'm going to keep on. I'm not super fast. So one of the things, if I was like super competitive for top overall awards and stuff, I probably would not race quite as much as I do. But because I'm able to run slower and bounce back, and most people are impressed that I run as much as I do. But it's just something I enjoy. I'm highly competitive for my age. I'm slowing down with age, but I still like to compete with the best of. And currently in both of my race series, I'm currently second in my age group for both.
Oh, that's awesome. Congrats.
So I'm still trying to compete with myself more than anything else.
Yeah.
So my biggest goal this year was to reach 200 races of marathon or longer. And I was able to top that back in September. I'm now currently at 203 races of marathon.
Wow.
And that's one of the things I like about the 24-hour races. They're for any and everybody, from beginners up to the elites.
Yeah.
It depends upon what you want out of the race. I know the elites, like John, just crushed it this year and set the new race record. And then you have those that are out there for the first time trying to get their first marathon or their first 50. Or their first 50 miler or 100.
I love timed races simply for that. It gives everybody the opportunity to go out and be successful.
Yeah. As long as you complete one lap, you're a success. You'll be on the leaderboard.
Absolutely.
If you do a distance event, let's say 50 miles, you drop at 40, your name will never even show up on there.
Exactly. So, well, it sounds like ultra running is your family.
Yes. I love the community. I do a lot of road racing as well, but it's just a totally different feel among the road runners and the ultra community. And like I said, I go to so many races. I see so many people that I already do know. And then I get to introduce myself to other new runners.
Well, we're gonna start wrapping this up. So the name of the podcast is Living an Ultra Life. So when you hear that, what's the first thing that kind of pops into your head?
Oh, well, first of all, living, I'm glad to be alive. I'm glad I'm healthy. I know one thing that running has done for me is it has improved my health. I have been to the doctor and I get my regular yearly checkups and so forth. And my doctor has told me that I'm healthier than the 20 and 30 year olds that she sees in her office. Yep. So that makes me feel good that I know I'm doing something that's beneficial for my health. I'm glad to be alive. I'm glad to be able to still keep putting up the miles. It's something that we all can do if we're willing to go out there and make that first step. That's what it starts with. Come on, join me. Go out there and start walking, because we are not made to be sitting around doing nothing. We're made to live and be active. And that's what I love about this sport.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Well, Paul, it's such a pleasure getting a chance to chat with you and find out about your story. And I look forward to sharing more miles with you in the future, because you definitely inspire me. And I love the way you encourage people out there. I think that is such a thing of beauty.
Well, I appreciate your kind words, and I look forward to meeting you up at another race in the future, and let's do it again.
Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultra Life.